And after last week's message, someone came up to me and mentioned, I never even thought about it. You know, when the sailors asked Jonah, what do we need to do in order for this to stop? And instead of Jonah saying, throw me over the ship, why didn't he say, take me to Nineveh? Turn the ship around and we'll be okay. It's interesting to me. And just something that's food for thought. Because sometimes the fix that we think isn't the fix that God wants, but God used it. The Bible tells us that when Jonah hit the water, the sea ceased from raging in chapter 1, verse 16. That's interesting to me. Immediately when Jonah was off the boat, everything was calm. Jonah, listen, I want you to think about this. Jonah was on his way down, but God had a plan. And maybe you feel yourselves in a place where you're going down, where you're sinking, where you're drifting. Let me tell you this, God has a plan, even in that. God loves you so much, he's going to not let you sink to the bottom. God's going to take care of you. And if you find yourself sinking this morning, and you find yourself being down or being discouraged, or maybe even you are running from God, I want you to remember this, because this is the title of my message. When you are down, God lifts you up. It may seem like, circumstances changed or coincident, but when you're down, when you're in a place where you feel like you maybe are sinking or drifting or even in disobedience to God, God has a plan to lift you up. And that's where faith kicks in, to believe that God has a plan for your life. We all have those seasons in our lives where things don't go our way or things don't go God's way. But God has a plan to use it, and I want you to remember that. Jonah ended up in the belly of a fish. He ended up in a pretty dark place, wouldn't you agree? No lights, no nothing. All he had to do was focus on God. For 3 days and three nights, but God, again, had a plan. So when you find yourself sinking, what do you do? What's the first thing you do? You find yourself in a bad place. When you're in a difficult situation, who's the first person you reach out to? When you discover you are drifting from God, how do you find your way back to Him? Listen, I see three practical things that Jonah did in this prayer in chapter 2 to find his way back to God. And I think if we apply those three principles, it will help us find our way back to God as well. Three things that will help each and every one of us today if we're drifting. Because when you are down, God has a plan. So look with me at just the first two verses in chapter 2. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Guys, when we're down, when we're in a sinking, when we're in a bad place, the first thing we got to do, if you're taking notes, is call for help. Call for help. You know, prayer is probably never the first thing we go to, but it should be. When you find yourself in a difficult situation, when you find yourself, you know, whether it's financial, whether you're struggling with, you know, paying your bills, or it's relational, maybe it's your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your kids, the first thing we pray, God, help us to pray. Just this morning, my wife got a text from a gentleman who used to go to this church, and something pretty tragic happened to him. I don't want to give all the details, but I'm sure he's praying. Because what he was about to do tonight, last night, something happened in his life that hindered that situation. He's in a dark place. And he might complain, and he might, why did this happen? And we always have the question, but I'm hoping he's praying. And even just as I've prepared this message, my prayer for him is like, God, heal. God, do the impossible. Because I think sometimes things happen in our lives and we think, oh, that's going to keep me from doing what I wanted to do. When we should be just praying, God, help this situation change so that I can do that thing that you've called me to. To pray a prayer that believes that God will change. And that's what Jonah was doing. I said it last week, as soon as he went over the edge of the boat, I think he started praying. I think he started going, I am in a bad place. I'm starting to go, and now I find myself in the belly of a fish, and now he's going to start praying. For 3 days and three nights, I believe that's all he did was pray. And we got to keep on praying until we hear God's answer. And notice it says in verse 1, and Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. He had this, his God. Jonah was a prophet of God, called to minister the truth of God's word. And so from the belly, from that dark place, from that place in the depths of the sea, he cried out to his God, guys, do you know there is no pit so deep God can't be there for you? There is no place that God can't reach on and snatch you back up. And we sometimes feel like we're in this place, maybe it's a dry place, maybe it's a dry season in your life. You're like, Lord, we used to talk. Lord, I used to hear from you. Lord, I used to be so close to you. I'm in this dark place. I'm not hearing your voice anymore. God is there. And so from the belly of the fish, he cries out to his God. And notice it says in verse 2, and I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Do you see the confidence that Jonah had? I don't believe the answer came right when he started praying, but I believe the peace of God began to come in his heart, and he knew God was going to deliver him. There was that understanding. Listen, James 5:14. I love this verse, especially in a church setting. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Wherever you are you calling out to God? Are you asking others to pray for you? Because I believe this verse in James 5 is someone that's so desperate, someone that's so, they've probably prayed on their own, they probably have asked God, but they're still in their situation, and the willingness to come to brothers and sisters, elders in the church, those who have maybe greater confidence in God, hopefully, to be able to come to them and say, could you pray for me? Could you lay hands on me and pray a prayer of faith? Because I believe it's in this relationship that we have with others to pray prayers of faith that God moves. Look at this verse. Isaiah 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Does anybody in here need to know that? That before you even call, God's going to begin to answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Have you ever felt like your prayers aren't being heard? You ever feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back? You ever feel like, God, are you leaving listening? Guys, it's verses like this that remind us that even before we ask, God begins to answer. God begins to move things into place. Now, this verse doesn't tell you as soon as you say amen or in Jesus' name, what you want is given to you, does it? No, it says God's going to begin to answer. Sometimes God's answers take a while, don't they? Sometimes God allows the answer to come over a season, over time. Well, that's going to be our next point, but it's what are we going to do during that time when God is answering? Because this is a verse that should be encouraging to all of us, that when we pray, you have God's attention. Jonah knew from the belly of the fish in the dark place, down there in the deep, that God was still there to hear his prayer. And when you pray, you need to have that confidence that you have God's attention. I was at a luncheon last Wednesday. And there was another pastor that prayed over the lunch. Older gentleman, seasoned in his faith. Do you know how he started his prayer? Pastor, God, it's me again. And it so touched me that this man has such a relationship with God that his confidence was, I'm going to start it out with, God, it's me again. You know my name. And it just, his prayer was so genuine and so personal, and so, it was, I wish it was recorded, because it was just filled with a child coming to his heavenly Father with such confidence that even though he's just praying over the food, he's so confident that God has got his attention, or he's got God's attention. Is that the kind of prayer you pray? Are you that confident that when you come to God in Jesus' name, that God's right there listening to you? Because I feel like the church today thinks, well, I'm going to pray, and hopefully if I pray right, I'll get my answer. Or I'm going to, if I pray after I've done my devotion, maybe God will hear me more. God hears your heart. It's not the words that you say. I personally don't, when I pray for things, when I pray for someone, and someone says, oh, that was such a beautiful prayer. Because I don't like that, because they're drawing attention to me. It's like, it's not about what I said, it's about who I said it to. And that's the reality for Jonah. He knew his God heard. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, still in the belly of the fish. How many of us need to be praying right where we are? Sometimes we don't pray until we wait till things change, or we get into a better position, or we get in a better field. You got to pray right in the midst of the storm. You got to pray when you're in the belly of the fish. Our sin sinks us. Our faith calls out to God humbly. God, I don't deserve it, but will you hear me? And God hears. Faith in God to deliver us from sin. Faith that God hears us no matter where we are. God hears you. There's no place too deep. Jonah prayed right where he was. Don't let location hinder you from praying. Don't let anything hinder you from praying. Stop in that moment. Just this morning, I was walking through the corridor while worship was going on, and I asked someone in the corridor, I said, could you pray for me? Pray for my message? Just keep me in prayer. Right then and there, they grabbed my hand, let me pray for you right now. And that just so blessed me. Because what? We're so used to going, I'll be praying for you. Oh, I'll be praying for you. Yes, Pastor, I'll be praying. Right then and there, in that moment, that so blessed me to know that I was being prayed for. Verse 2 says, I cried out to the Lord. He knew who to call to. Yes, it's good to have prayer warriors in your life, prayer people in your life to be able to reach out, but make sure you call to God. Sometimes we go to the wrong place for help. I personally don't think we should ask other people to pray for us if we're not praying for ourselves. Do you see how just selfish that is? Hey, can you be praying for me while I go play tennis? Pray for me while I go play golf. I don't play golf, but if I'm not praying, how selfish it is of me to ask you to be praying. Let's agree together and pray together. Jonah knew that God had heard him. Listen, before the answer came. Think about that. It wasn't after Jonah got, we'll see, spit out by the fish that he goes, oh, God heard me. He knew in the belly of the fish that God heard him. Faith knows God will answer. Many years ago, when I had my heart issue, there were many in this church that said when they were praying to God, God showed them that I was going to survive. And to hear that confidence, that God was giving them that assurance that I was going to make it, that's a blessing, that they were listening, that they were asking, number one, but number two, they were listening to the peace that God gives, that peace that surpasses understanding, and to know that God was blessing them and encouraging them in that season when I was going through. It's a beautiful thing. He answered me. God heard his voice. The confidence that Jonah had is something of confidence that we should have. But also look at this. Read with me in verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Jonah was in a bad place. Look at this. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings or the foundations of the mountains. He was pretty low. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. He knew he was dying. Yet you have brought me up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Now, this prayer that he prays is filled, listen, with the word of God. It's filled with the scriptures. Jonah was a prophet, a man who studied the word of God. And he knew the word of God so well. I mean, Jonah didn't have a Bible. He didn't pull his phone out of the belly of the fish and say, what's that scripture that I need to pray right now? The word of God was in him. I'm going to show them to you if you want to write them down. Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him even to his ears. That's one of them. Another, they were all Psalms. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Maybe Jonah's devotion that morning was this verse. It just happened to come back to him when he was in the belly of the fish. Word of God was in him. Finally, for I said in my distress, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Guys, there is nothing more powerful for us to pray than to be praying the very word of God. And I know several people in this room that when they pray, it is filled with the word of Scripture. It is filled with Scripture. It's so important. Whose word is more important, God's or ours? Right? And I'm not saying, hey, memorize a bunch of verses so that when you pray, you're going to get your way. I'm saying it's part of you. It's who you are. It was who Jonah was. One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My prayer oftentimes will say in there somewhere, God, help my eyes be still upon you. Help me in my fix. Help my gaze to be upon you and not my circumstances and not my situation. I should have not looked into that light because now I can't see your faces. Praying the word of God. Guys, it's not manipulation, but it certainly must bless God because he knows you're reading his word. Pray the word. Pray the word. Jonah called for help because he knew he was in trouble. Notice in verse 2 again, it says, because of my affliction, because of my trouble, because of my difficulty, because of my circumstances. I think one of the dangers is we don't realize we're in trouble. We go through life with blinders on, and when we're in a bad place, we need to be crying out to God. So we have to understand that. We have to know. If we don't think something is wrong in our lives, we might not be calling out to God. I think that's why James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience. Consider it joy because when there's trouble in your life, you're talking to God. Maybe if we were consistently talking to God, we wouldn't have as much trouble, or at least we would be able to endure the trouble that we face. Just a thought. Maybe you're drifting and maybe you're sinking, but are you refusing to call for help? And listen, I want to say this. I'm not saying this to burden us with prayer, like we must be praying, and we certainly must. But it should not be a works mentality. It should be a relationship mentality. It should be a faith mentality. I get to talk to God. Prayer means you're entering to the Holy of Holies, a place before Jesus came that no one could go except the high priest once a year. We are entering into the very presence of God in our prayer. That alone should draw us to it. That alone should make us want to be there with God consistently. I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to read it a couple times, actually. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing. Anybody in here anxious? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, listen, don't be anxious, but pray. Don't be nervous, but pray. Don't be fearful, be praying. And in your prayer, be thankful to God because he's hearing your prayers. And in your prayer, guess what? You're not going to be anxious anymore. You're not going to be fearful anymore. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding is going to rule your heart. There is no reason for a believer that we should be nervous about anything. We can be concerned, but if God's in control and if God's on scene, we don't have to worry about a thing. So remember that. Remember, when you cry out to God, that peace will come. It's Exodus. The children of Israel had been delivered from Exodus, and they're on their way through the wilderness, and where do they end up? At the Red Sea, the edge of the Red Sea, right? And who's behind them? The Egyptians, right? And they're complaining to Moses. Moses, were there not any tombs in Egypt that were sufficient? We have to die out here in the wilderness? But look at this verse. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. It's interesting, the Lord responds, why are you crying out to me? Moses, why are you complaining to me? And I would believe in Moses' heart, he's like, because you're the one we're relying on. I believe God was testing the heart of Moses. Why are you asking for my help? Have you not seen my help in your life before? We all have, haven't we? If you look over the number of years you've been on this earth, can you remember the times where God has taken care of you, where God has miraculously done something in your life? And I think when God said to Moses, why are you coming out, crying out to me? God, because I got an ocean in front of me and I got an enemy behind me. I'm surrounded. I need your help. And I think God wants us to acknowledge that. I think God wants to acknowledge us, God, I'm in a place where I can't do anything. I need your help. Because that's a humble place to be, isn't it? A place of out of control. God, we need your help. They cried out to the Lord. They prayed a prayer. Not only did Jonah know he was in trouble, he recognized how far he had fallen. If you look back at verse 5 and 6, notice it says, I mean, this is a great prayer. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountain. I mean, Jonah knew he was at the bottom. He knew where he was, and he was in a bad place. He had fallen far from God. I would imagine for all of us, Jonah should be that example, that we drift as far away from God as we possibly can and know that our prayers are still being able to be heard from that distance. Maybe you haven't talked to God in years. Maybe you haven't picked up his word in years. Today, this very moment, you can say, God, it's me again. And he's right there. He's right there. Don't let the enemy tell you you're too far gone. Don't let the enemy tell you there's no way back to God. You've messed it up permanently. There's always an avenue back to God. Call for help. He knew he still needed God's help. So he called for help. The second thing he does, notice, and we've been talking about it a little bit, is he continues in hope. Continues in hope. As he's praying this prayer, notice it says at the end of verse 6, probably the most pivotal point in his prayer. All these things that I'm so far, I'm too far, the worlds have closed in behind me. Yet at the end of verse 6, it says, yet you have brought me up, you have brought up my life from the pit. Listen, the same God that put Jonah in the fish is the same God that's going to take Jonah out of the fish. And when we pray to God to help us in our situation, when we call out for help, I think the next season of waiting for the answer is the hardest. That's why continuing in hope is so important. To continue to believe that though the answer isn't coming, that we're going to still hope in God. How many of us have ever prayed for God to change our circumstances and our circumstances get worse? Okay, all of us. Perfect. First thing we do, oh, I didn't pray right. Oh, God's mad at me. Oh, no. When we pray, Psalm 37:5, another one of my favorite verses, and I've said it many times, commit your way to God. Pray to God. Commit it to him. The next part says, trust also in him. Why? Because God knows us. Hey, we can commit our ways to him, but then we don't trust him. God, you're not doing it fast enough. God, you're not doing it fast, big enough. God, you're not doing it right. Commit your way to God. Trust also him. Continue in hope. The last part of that verse is, and he will bring it to pass. I can't wait to get to heaven and watch the old movies of my life where I worried and fretted, and I see the behind the scenes, so to speak, of God orchestrating the answer in my prayers. Oh, that's what you were doing, God. That's why it took a little longer. Oh, that's why it got worse before it got better. You wanted me to trust you. He loves you so much, he'll let you suffer to teach you the greatest lesson of your life. continuing in hope. The simplest definition, the simplest definition of hope that I found, faith in the future. Faith in the future. Because isn't the future the hardest thing for us? Like the next 5 minutes, God, what are you going to do? God, are you going to leave me? God, are you going to hurt me? God, are you going to abandon me? The future. So hope is faith in the future. And this, if you don't have faith in the future, you will never have power in the present. Oof. Because if we're living in the future, where aren't we living? In the present. So if we don't have faith in the future and have that confidence, okay, God, you're going to take care of it, we'll never see the power in the present. God wants you to be at peace. God wants you to live a life of blessings and joy and not worry. And we do worry, but he doesn't want us to worry. Continue in hope is trusting in him, putting our hope in him. Listen to this. You may be going under, but put your faith in the one who is above. Put your faith in the one. For Jonah, he was putting his faith in the one that was in heaven, that was out of the ocean, that it was above the surface. That's where his hope was. Faith and hope only come out of our experiences. Don't you believe that? The things that you've experienced in the past, your relationship with God, helps us to have faith and hope for our future. Experiences. I believe God can do anything in my life and in yours because I've seen him do the impossible in my own life. And before anyone in here goes, well, I've never seen him do the impossible in my life. Do you know that God will do the impossible in my life to show you that he can do the impossible? He doesn't have to do the impossible in your life. But he's done the impossible in someone's life that you know. That's the whole idea of parting the Red Sea and crossing on dry ground. God did that. So we can have confidence that that's the God who does those things. He may not do it in your life, but he can. Do you have hope and do you have faith and do you have belief? Again, if anyone is among you sick, let them come to the elders of the church and be prayed over. That the prayer of faith, because the elders of the church should have the faith that God can change your circumstances. And I can't tell you the number of prayers I've prayed for people to be healed or relationships to be restored, but the first and foremost, let them have faith to believe that you will do it, God. Because without faith, the Bible says what? It's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to have faith. You have to have faith to believe. And when we have faith to believe God will do the impossible, the answer that he brings is always the right answer. It's not always our answer, is it? It's his answer. That's humble pie right there. When you have to accept his will over your will. Jonah was able to pray because he experienced the salvation of God, because he witnessed the power of God, and because he himself heard directly from God. Remember, if you go back to the first verse of chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah heard that. He heard the voice of God. He knew what God wanted him to do. Look at verse 1 in chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you. God's will didn't change. But the heart of Jonah sure did. The direction of Jonah sure did. God's heart doesn't change. His will be done. And when we experience his love, his perfect love, that's when we must believe by faith that God's going to make it happen. And listen, we're human. You're human. I hate to remind you. You might have strong faith today, but weak faith tomorrow. But know this, God's faith never changes. God's faithfulness never changes. God's love never changes. We change, he does not. So when you're strong today and you're weak tomorrow, just press in all that more closely to the Lord. He needs to show you. He needs to remind you to continue in hope. Verse 3 says, you cast me into the deep. Verse 6, I went down to the moorings of the mountains. Jonah knew he was in a bad place. Jonah realizes that it was not the sailors that put him there. Notice it says in verse 6, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me, yet you have brought me up. Verse 3, for you cast me into the deep. Now listen, difficulties that happen in your life are not always God doing it, but it may be just God allowing it. God doesn't give anyone cancer. God doesn't hurt anyone purposely. He will allow those things to happen in your life for his glory, right? Remember the disciples asked the man who was born blind, Jesus, can you tell us who sinned, the parents or the son who was born blind? And what did Jesus say? Neither sinned. It's for the glory of God. So sometimes bad things happen to us for the glory of God. So maybe this dark season, this sinking season, this deep season that you're in is for the glory of God, not anything else. You may be going through something just so someone else can get their eyes and their focus on God. If we're his, if we belong, have we surrendered our lives to him? I sure hope so. Here's the lyrics to this song, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender. Maybe that's the title. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Are those convicting lyrics for anybody in this room? I mean, they go well together, right? The music sounds good when we sing it. But do we mean it? Do we really mean it? I surrender it all to you, God. Because if we're willing to surrender it all, then we're going to call out to him, we're going to continue in hope during it, and whatever happens in our life, we want it to bring glory to God. Because we've surrendered it all. If we're not going to do it, why should we sing it? Just saying. But our prayer is that when we sing it, we realize what we're saying, and we begin to live it out. All of us need to surrender more. And listen, I'm not saying this so that you'll pray more and so that you'll do more. I'm saying this because I think we just need to do the minimum. I think we need to do what's required of us. And for each of us, that might be a little bit different. God's call upon our lives are all a little bit different, but our commitment to him should all be the same. It should be strong. When you look to God, that's where you find hope. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but in two places, at the end of verse 4 and at the end of verse 7, it says that Jonah was looking towards his holy temple. Do you know why he says that? Because for the Jew, when they looked to the temple meant the presence of God, the very salvation of God, the faithfulness of God, the forgiveness of God. And so when they looked to the temple, they were acknowledging that it was God that was going to provide their salvation. Notice at the end of verse, at the end of verse 9, it says, I will pray what I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. So as he's looking to the temple, he's acknowledging, God, you're the one. You're the one. That my salvation, you're the only one, God, that's going to be able to get me out of the belly of this fish. Isn't it interesting that Jonah's looking at the temple? We as New Testament believers are looking at what? Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author. When we come to prayer, we are looking to Jesus, in Jesus' name, coming to God saying, God, help us. We are acknowledging because of Jesus, what he's done on the cross, his obedience, his death, his resurrection. Because of that, we have confidence that we can come to you and ask whatever we want according to your will. And it will be done. That's confidence, guys. That's continuing in hope. Finally, and the last thing, and I think the most important thing in the last three verses, is that Jonah had a change of heart. He had a change of heart. Finally, he turned. Finally, there was that repentance. We call for help, we continue in hope, and then we change our hearts. It's important. Look at verse 8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Does that remind you of anything we just read? I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I know we're getting late, but real quick, it's important that our hearts change. And we might think that our prayer that we pray to God is changing his heart, but in reality, it's changing our heart, isn't it? I mean, truly, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. That's what Jesus wanted. But the rest of their prayer goes, nevertheless, not my will be done, thy will be done. It is a picture for us that when we pray, our hearts change. If you truly want God to take you out of your season or your situation or your dark place, in prayer, God's going to reveal to you just how important being in that dark place might be. There may be things going on in your life that are so hard and so gut-wrenching, and just asking God, but there are people around you that are watching you and watching how faithful you're going to be through those situations. And maybe just as they're watching your faithfulness to God, as hard as it is, and be real, don't be phony, don't just show them the good sides, show them the bads, that they see so that they too can have that kind of confidence in God. That they're seeing your heart change. If you want to see change in your circumstances, you've got to change your heart. And there's three things that I see here. First, there has to be a readiness to surrender. If our hearts are going to change, we have to surrender to God. And that's what he does. Those who are God worthless idols forsake their own mercy because we're trusting in something else. But I will sacrifice to you. I will sacrifice to you. It was a readiness to surrender. Jonah said, I'm going to surrender to you. I give up. I'm done running. I realize I've been running from you. I realize I'm not fulfilling the call that you have on my life. So there has to be a readiness to surrender. And then there needs to be a readiness to repent, which is to turn 180 degrees. And that's what he does. He says, I will pay what I have vowed. He's a prophet. He's supposed to be doing God's will. When you're called by God to do a specific thing, you need to fulfill that. And sometimes a readiness to repent and turn from what we want to what God wants is what gets our heart in the right place. And then finally, there must be a readiness to respond. To respond. He says at the end, and this is to me the most important verse in the entire chapter, or part of the verse, the entire chapter is end of verse 9, says, salvation is of the Lord. In the Old Testament of your Bibles, it says salvation is of the Lord. And don't we know that to be true? Salvation is in Jesus Christ, the Lord, and only him. Jonah was acknowledging the only way he's getting out of that fish is if he acknowledges who God is. And he changes his attitude. This chapter has so blessed my heart to know that God loves us so much that when we're in a bad place, he's the one that reaches down and says, let me give you a hand. Let me pull you up. Let me use your life. Let me show my glory to others because of what I'm going to do in your life. It's just so important. Now, and this is the last thing, and I promise. Verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Let me point out one thing. This fish was more obedient to God than Jonah was. Someone need to hear that. And I would imagine Jonah would have rather not have been vomited out of a fish. But however God gets us out of our sticky situations, we need to be okay with. I'm sure Jonah would have said, you know, could you just let the fish pull up to the shore and I'll walk out, you know, type of thing. How God wants to do it is under his control, right? Amen? How God wants to do it, how God wants to deliver you, how God wants to answer your prayer, that's in his control. Let's just ask that God would answer us. Let us find ourselves in those places where we call for help, continue in hope, and have a change of heart. That one day we'll be able to stand in front of people, other people, maybe one-on-one, and just say, this is what God did in my life. Jonah is a picture of what our Savior has done. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the grave 3 days and three nights. He rose. Jonah rose again. The hope that we have in God is that one day we're going to rise out of this nasty, old, broken down, hairless body. And we're going to be in the presence of God, clothed in his righteousness. It's going to be a beautiful thing. So if you find yourself down, look to God to lift you up. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. What a blessing it is to be reminded of the simple things of our faith, like prayer, like trusting in you, like stop looking at our situation and our circumstances and our pains and our hurts and get our eyes fixed on you. Because that's where salvation comes. That's where the peace that surpasses understanding comes. That's where Peter had the ability to walk on water because he was looking at you. Help us, God, not to take our eyes off of you. Help us not to move our hearts from you. Move in our hearts in such a way that they're drawn to you and that they realize the things that you're doing, the things that you're allowing, the things that you're working out are all for your glory. That we don't want any of the credit. We don't want people looking at us. We want people looking at you, Jesus. And so I pray for every person in this room that their faith would increase, that they would come into this place with their pain, their hurts, their sin, and that they would walk away feeling forgiven, feeling cleansed, feeling washed, feeling encouraged and on fire for you. Because we're going to go out in the world and get beat up. The enemy's going to try and stop us, but the enemy cannot stop us from doing your will as we put our hope and trust in you, Holy Spirit, to never leave us or forsake us. So I pray blessings upon each and every one, that this week we would see you lifting us up, placing us upon the rock that is your Son, Jesus Christ, for all your glory. We love you, Lord. We praise you. May this last song be a prayer of our hearts and a commitment to do your will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.